just discussing who outed me to you.
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
6 minutes.
It was
thanks
way,
a lot.
It was
okay,
way six. Before you outed yourself to me.
Well, I've just been saying, I was saying to Jackie at the top of the hour, that as you know, it has been a long, lonely time being the only basketball center that is openly gay in the country. Thank you, Jason Collins.
Yeah, right.
For fun.
Because you were a center at the DeSales Catholic High
School. I was
High
not
School.
Just a center. I was first team All-Catholic. 1979, the Lady Knights. DeSales Catholic High School Lady Knights. Right. And it has been a long, long, lonely time. And much of that time I had a unibrow, as you know.
Yes.
And looked like an Armenian man. And it's been very, very lonely. Thank you, Jason Collins.
Hmm. Surprising they let you on the team.
Are you
okay. Sure it's, that's
anyway,
a chick?
Anyway, yay for Jason Collins. Good for
Are
him.
Are you sure that's a chick?
That was never heard in the stands.
How do you know? You weren't
Catholic
listening.
High school.
You just said you look like an Armenian man. I thought someone might have picked up on that. Said, hey, wait a minute.
Okay, it has
have
been
we
a long,
gender
lonely
tested
time
her?
As an Armenian male basketball center.
There's something East German about
openly.
Her.
Openly.
I put my finger on it.
Something vaguely East German. Oh, God.
Sure, wasn't that controversial because no one knew I was a chick. All right. Oh, in fact, the person that outed me to you, guys, remember many years ago?
Yes.
She once said that. She looked at my high school yearbook, remember, and she goes, you look like a dude.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Do look like a lady.
Right. Right, exactly. Okay. Anyway, so Jason Collins yesterday.
You know, I never set out to be the first, and it's... You're sort of waiting around for somebody else to, you know, raise their hand. And, you know, I'm ready to raise my hand, but, you know, you still look around like, okay, come on, guys.
Yeah, is anyone out there?
Yeah.
Is anyone at all?
Out there?
Yeah.
Is anyone out there?
Anyone at all? So on the big show today, Shelley Wright, official country star of the Stephanie Miller Show, PR guru Howard Bragman on the big show, and of course our usual Charlie Pierce from Esquire. So
Howard Bragman has advised a whole lot of people on the PR business of coming out.
Yes,
so,
exactly.
So
he's the guy.
He's the guy to go to.
Right, so it's a big gay show.
Yep.
Don't I look cute in this hat? I'm feeling super. Okay.
Maybe you could help Marcus Bachman with something.
Perhaps. Yeah, well, because, of course, predictably across the right-wing world,
mm-hmm.
Rush Limbaugh said he just came out so that if he doesn't get picked up by a team, he'll sue for whatever.
Whatever.
Let's see. Oh, far right. Oh, the guy from Breitbart.com?
Yeah.
He said, Jason Collins is a hero because he's gay. Our standard for heroism has dropped quite a bit since Normandy.
Oh.
All right, number one. Number two.
Okay.
We went back to his Twitter feed to look at who he has called a hero.
Yes.
Mark Levin, Adam Carolla, Senator Ted Cruz, the guy that ran against Sherrod Brown.
Yeah. So, those are heroes
really?
On the level of Normandy.
Right, those are Normandy-type heroes.
On the other side.
To Shapiro.
Right.
They were
right.
On the beach firing at our guys.
Right.
Right. This is the ESPN sportscaster. Everybody's been talking about Chris Broussard.
Personally, I don't believe that you can live an openly homosexual lifestyle or an openly premarital sex between heterosexuals. If you're openly living that type of lifestyle,
no NBA players
then
are doing that.
The Bible says you know them by their fruits. It says that, you know, that's
excuse
a
me?
Sin. And if you're openly living in unrepentant sin, uh-huh. whatever it may be, not just
right.
homosexuality,
right.
adultery, fornication, premarital sex between
right.
heterosexuals, whatever
right.
it may be.
Sure, you mentioned that.
I believe that's walking in open rebellion
well.
To God and to Jesus Christ. So well. I would not characterize that person as a Christian because I don't think the Bible would characterize him as a Christian.
Wow.
Okay.
Wow. Thank God there are no NBA players that have ever engaged in sex outside
right.
of marriage because that
or
would be horrible.
Eating shellfish and pork.
Right.
Well, wearing Polly Gwen slacks.
Okay.
Cutting their hair at the temples.
Thank God every single NBA player has always been a virgin on the day he got
yes.
married.
And
thank God.
Thank God he has followed every single rule in Leviticus.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Every one.
Wow.
Including, you know, which slaves it's okay to kill.
Yeah. So, of course, I'm listening to another right-wing radio host yesterday defending that guy. That he said, well, that guy predicted that when the first player comes out that, you know, the real tolerance is going to be, if people come out like that and say it makes me uncomfortable, are you tolerant of them? So that's the real test here. Are we tolerant enough of the homophobes?
Sure. Just, yeah.
Say that makes me uncomfortable. That makes me oogie.
Entitled to feel oogie.
Sure. Good luck with that. And your lack of extramarital and premarital and any other
right.
kind of sex.
Yes.
Really? That does not pass the laugh test. You see, because my point is professional athletes are known to be a little bit loose.
Wilt Chamberlain was a lifelong virgin.
Of course.
Yes, yes, Wilt Chamberlain. Let's see what he thinks about
that. You don't count the 50,000. Well, never mind.
Right. That number always seems a little high.
That does seem a little high.
All right. Shelley Wright, a gay Christian, we will ask her what she thinks about that whole situation.
That's right.
So,
and I'm sure Charlie Pierce, who is a renowned sports writer, has something to say about this as well.
There
he's wicked smart.
Yes,
there
he
is. There you go. Oh, by the way, because just when you think like you were going to see, was it Rush Limbaugh or Breitbart, who was going to win the homophobe award yesterday? Hold the phone. Washington. You remember in Washington State, they're, the florist that wouldn't do, you know.
Yeah.
It's being sued because she wouldn't do flowers for a gay wedding, which is against the law in Washington.
Right.
You cannot discriminate. So I love this story. Members of Washington State's gay community should be prepared to fend for themselves, according to the office of a local lawmaker who supports a bill that will allow discrimination because of sexual orientation. Senator Sharon Brown, please and thank you, Republican of Kennewick, would allow businesses in the state to the right to deny services to individuals based on religious or philosophical differences. So just if you're having, it does not, they don't want to interfere with someone's right to feel oogie.
Or feel
and
gross,
not,
yeah.
Right, and not sell flowers to them.
You have the right to feel oogie.
Right.
But you can't tell other people how to run their lives.
A reader of a Seattle-based blog called up one of the bill's co-sponsors. I just love this. State Senator Mike Hewitt, a Republican of Walla Walla.
Uh-huh.
Hewitt, is that who you are? What you do?
To ask why he was supporting the bill, Castor asked the guy that called asked a staffer at Hewitt's office a simple question: what are rural gays supporting? The farm gays. Who will think of the farm gays? What are rural gays supposed to do if the only gas station or grocery store for miles won't sell them gas or food? The staffer, who refused to identify himself, reportedly told Castro that if such a scenario were to unfold, gay people can just grow their own food.
Wow. Okay.
And some of them do, I'm sure.
I would not be good at that. I would be even skinnier.
Yeah.
All right. Go grow your own food, gays. Go grow your own gay food.
I'd like to see you procure your own side of beef. Good luck with that.
Exactly. Exactly. All right. And, of course, there is a we have to update because it is our current obsession is what's happening with, you know.
Her.
Bomber mom. Yeah, mom. What?
A zooby dot. A zooby dot. A zooby dot. A zooby dooby 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 dee dot dot dee dot dot. Zooby dee dot dot da dee dot dot. Zooby dooby dooby dot dot dot. Zooby dooby dooby dot 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 dot. A zooby dot.
Okay.
A zooby dot.
All right. Marion Ann Arbor is a deeply, deeply silly woman. Yeah. And we appreciate that just as deeply.
Apparently, physical exercise prevents you from becoming gay, claims UK Councillor
Kennedy
really? John Sullivan.
I would like to take that person to my gym and see what he thinks.
Yeah. Or what?
About
what does
that?
Jason Collins think about that?
Oh, yes. Watch pictures of the Armenian dude at DeSales Catholic High School playing basketball.
Right. Okay. I'm sorry. I wasn't listening. I was thinking about what food I was going to grow later. I need to, you know what? I need to go hoe the back 40. I might not be able to even finish the entire show today. Okay. Anyway.
You could grow food on your property.
I could. And then the dogs would dig it up.
Yeah. I mean,
okay.
You have property the size of a ranch.
All right. Investigators have found female DNA in at least one of the bombs.
Yeah.
Right away, you thought Zooby Dot, right? But they're thinking maybe the wife,
the widow.
Wife, the widow. Okay, right,
yeah.
Right. Anyway, they're taking her DNA to test to
right.
find because they're not sure if it was, you know, someone that touched the components beforehand or one of the victims.
Yeah.
So, at any rate, and then the prosecutors for the surviving, the alive one, we're calling him, Johar, in discussions about a possible deal so that where he would cooperate in exchange for not getting the death penalty.
Mm-hmm.
So lots of stuff, and I have some fun facts.
Oh?
Yeah, well, they're not
some
so
Zubidot fun facts?
Yeah, yes. Well, just about all of them.
Are they fun?
No, they're not really fun. They're just weird.
Okay.
There was quite a long piece in the New York Times on Sunday.
Yes.
And I'm just saying the relationship between the mom and the Zubidot and Tamerlan, just a little weird.
A little Norman Bates.
Yes.
And Ma- yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And mother.
Yes, mother, blood.
The mother, Zubi, this is from the New York Times on Sunday. The mother, Zubidat, said that her older son, Tamerlan, had been handsome like Hercules.
Hercules.
Also, he developed a broad-shouldered physique that his mother described as a masterpiece.
Okay. Ooh.
Okay.
A little creepy? Creeping you out a little bit?
Yeah.
Just saying. All right, and then more more facts about what a douche Tamerlan was, aside from the obvious. He was a flamboyant dresser, partial to white fur and snakeskin.
Wow.
Douche. Let's see.
So
here.
He's Kid Rock.
Right. Yes,
pretty much.
Yeah. In 2009, he won the New England Golden Gloves Championship, introducing what would become his signature style. He showed up overdressed, wearing a white silk scarf, black leather pants, and mirrored sunglasses.
That he stole from Warden Taylor.
Yeah. His mother apparently stole for his masterpiece physique. Warden Taylor. During a preliminary round of the New England Golden Gloves in 2010, in a breach of boxing etiquette, he entered the locker room to taunt not only the fighter he was about to face, but also the fighter's trainer, wearing a cowboy hat and alligator skin cowboy boots. Douche. He gave the two men a disdainful once over and said, "You're nothing. I'm taking you down." Douche, douche, douche. Let's see.
I'm taking you downtown.
The previous summer, Tamerlan had been arrested after a report of domestic violence. His girlfriend at the time called 911, hysterically crying to say he had beaten her up. According to the police report, Mr. Sarniev told the officers he had slapped her face because she'd been yelling at him about another girl. Eventually, charges would be dismissed. But
dismissed?
Not dismissed, but not charges of being a douche.
Right.
Oh, ew. Here's...
He's dressed like a pimp.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes.
That's, yeah, and that's pimptacular.
And he claimed he just pimp slapped her, but I think it was probably worse than that.
Yeah.
Yeah. His uncle said, oh, he hit her lightly. Just tapped her lightly.
A love
as
tap.
As professional boxers do.
You know, like in a speed bag.
Yeah. Right, yes, yes. Oh, here's the other thing, Johar. I don't know if he can be charged additionally with this, but he once damaged his 1999 green Honda Civic by texting while driving.
Ah!
Which now makes him really a bastard.
Now.
Because, right?
Okay, I was okay with the bombing thing, but now!
I certainly hope they add that on. I hope they add that on.
Me too.
Very dangerous. Okay. And then, and this is the last level of douche nozzlery.
Okay.
For Tamerlan. At a neighborhood pizzeria wearing a head covering that matched his jacket.
That's douche-tastic right there.
His, I don't know, no word if there were the same... snakeskin boots or white scarf or
white fur.
He dressed like Liberace. I don't know. I don't understand what.
I wish my brother Jokar was here.
He
I like to box in chinchilla undershorts. I never chafe.
Yeah, because that's the main thing he was worried about was chafing.
See, that's the thing that's going to make me start giggling at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
Say it again.
They never chafe. My chinchilla undershorts.
Okay. At a pizzeria, wearing the whatever with the whatever, the schmata with the thing, he explained to Albrecht Ammann, 18, that the Koran is great and flawless, and the Bible is ripped off from the Koran, and the U.S. used the Bible as an excuse to invade different countries. I asked him about radical Muslims that blow themselves up and say it's for Allah, Mr. Ammann said, and he said he wasn't one of those Muslims. No, he's just one that blows other people off, like an 8-year-old kid. He is really, really douche-tastic. Just some, you know, extra douche-tastic details.
And pimptacular.
Yes.
Well, if he were still around, he'd probably have his own reality show.
Yes. Boy. Okay. All right, so that's all the update. 20 minutes after the hour, I'm off to grow some food.
Some gay food.
Some big gay food.
Out in gay country.
Right. And we'll be right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call the political party line now. 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller.
Twenty-four minutes after the hour, I am Stephanie Miller.
Lesbian.
All right. Everybody knows. It already came out, Al. Aww. 25 minutes after
he's just
the
trying
hour.
To help.
I know. 1-800-STEP-1-2.
Let's help you grow your lesbian food out in lesbian country.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. By the way, so the thing that will make me giggle tonight, in the middle of the night, will be this Jim Ward saying.
I like to box in chinchilla undershorts.
Yep.
They never chafe.
That's it. I don't know why it's
I wish my brother Joe Carr was here.
I was just telling someone this weekend, remember the bit 1,000 years ago with Geraldo chained in Bill O'Reilly's sex dungeon?
Yes.
You remember.
Bell, slap me and call me Susan.
Okay. This is the most oddest times.
And they had a safe word.
Mizrahi!
We don't know why Geraldo never calls anymore. I ran into him at the DNC. I was like, I have no information on whether you've ever actually said slap me and call me Susan during
or
sex.
Or called Mizrahi in the middle of the night.
Or if you've actually been chained in Bill O'Reilly's sex dungeon. And if not, I apologize.
We do know that Bill O'Reilly has a sex dungeon, though.
We do?
Yes.
Okay.
We sent out an investigative team.
No, we did not.
Okay.
Stephanie in Ohio, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Steph.
Hi, Steph.
Hello.
Well, I wanted to say I can't believe, I mean, this whole thing with Jason Collins, and it takes me back to May of 2010. And I'm a country music-loving straight ally, and I just love progress, history in the making. It's progress forward.
You're talking about Shelley Wright.
Absolutely.
Yeah. She'll be on in about an hour and a half. But that's exactly right. And they say this is the last bastion, right, Steph? I mean, you know, professional mm-hmm. sports.
I hope we'll have some good news about the DOMA thing in June. I can't wait till then.
I know. Absolutely. All right, honey. Thank you. All right, and Shaquille O'Neal yesterday. By the way, he apparently Jason Collins likes to frustrate and annoy him.
Oh, really?
Well, on the court.
Okay.
Yes.
Character is found in those who lead, and I'd like to commend you, Jason, for coming out and showing us what leadership looks like.
Yes. Thank you.
Shaquille O'Neal just sounds big.
I remember
Yo,
going.
Ho, ho, yeah,
I know.
I remember going to a Lakers game once,
yeah.
And we were pretty close. And I'm gay, and I still, my girlfriend and I were just like, God, how big is that, do you think? Look at him. He is. I'm just saying, we were speculating. He is very large. Impressive. Matt in Asheville, North Carolina, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, Mama. As a businessman, I had to speak on the whole idea of legalizing discrimination for companies.
Yes.
You don't start growing your own food. Any good Republican capitalist knows that rule one in capitalism is make money. Doesn't care who gives you the money,
right.
You make money. And in corporations, you are required to advocate for your shareholders. So if that bill gets one single Republican vote, I advocate that Republican. Never get another Republican vote of his own again.
Yeah. I mean, since when do we in America try to, like, legislate taking rights away from people? I mean, it's ridiculous.
Oh, yeah, and you know, that's another good argument for gay marriage, because those things cost like $20,000 each on average, and that money doesn't just go up into the sky. It goes to the economy.
Yep, exactly.
It goes to flower shops.
Exactly. And then divorces? Come on, we got a whole business.
That all goes to lawyers.
Let us at it. We'll screw it up just as bad. Cordell in North Carolina. Hey, Cordell.
Good morning, Mama. Good morning, Moo.
Hello.
It's the official screenwriter to the Stephanie Miller Show. And I just want to say, when I saw Jason Collins come out yesterday, it so reminded me of how you helped me get comfortable enough to come out to my own family members. And I just feel, you know, for the first time in my life, I just feel so hopeful that things are finally, you know, going our way. You know, we got the sports world. And now I'm just hoping that the entertainment world start being more acceptable.
Are you saying you think there's people in entertainment that are gay? What? 29 minutes.
Is that legal?
Really? 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Hello, Mr. Beaver.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Oh, did someone speculate on Twitter that if push came to shove, I could...
Stuff Junkie on Twitter says if push came to shove, I'm pretty sure Stephanie could grow her own vineyard.
Oh, yeah. If I had to, I could make do.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
That's all you need.
Mm-hmm. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Kamala in Gary, Indiana.
Hello.
Hi, Stephanie. How are you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
Fine. I think it's terrific that this young man has come out during his career as opposed to after, and I think the NBA should take advantage of it as a unique marketing opportunity to sell to a whole new audience.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think Nike already announced, you know, they're supportive of it. You know, maybe there's a campaign there. Just gay do it. Something, right?
Yeah, just gay do it. You're going to need a whole new line of T-shirts and jerseys. It's great.
All right.
Just like, gay do it?
I don't know. Listen, I didn't have time to spitball it.
That's doughy.
It's not my job.
Just goo it.
No, it doesn't work.
Something. I don't know. Could I have some love music, please? Because here's a... What perfect timing. Because people are already... You know, we have some naysayers about Jason Collins, right?
Mm-hmm.
Thank God that every straight couple is completely normal. For instance, a man lived with a decomposing corpse of a 72-year-old woman for about 6 months before court officers serving an eviction notice discovered her body moldering on a sofa.
Mother! No, blood!
Did
mother.
In their trailer home.
Was he married to her?
Norman? They were together, yes.
Well, he didn't want
to... He was arrested.
He didn't want to part with her. That's kind of sad. But still, it's smelly.
Gack. Dennis McCauley was arrested Monday after letting the officer into the trailer at Long's Mobile Home Court in West Detroit.
Someone might have noticed the smell.
The smell.
The officer noticed noted a pungent smell.
Yeah.
Of decay and observed a corpse in the room immediately to the right of the front door. He called us. The corpse had obviously been deceased for some time and was partially dried out. He told the officer the woman was called Anne Marquis. Well, there's a Marquis.
No,
there's a Marquis name. No. And that he did not kill her. Preliminary results from the autopsy indicated she died of natural causes. Toxicology results are pending. So there's that.
I'm not going to say anything about Gene Schmidt. No.
Do I have a right to feel oogie about that? I'm just saying.
No. No, you
no,
don't.
No, you do not.
How dare you?
Wow. Okay, then. Let's see. Steve Nash, L.A. Lakers, yesterday speaking out about Jason Collins coming out.
I think it's fantastic that, you know, he's taking, such a positive and influential role as a spokesperson in many respects.
And Steve Nash actually was very close to becoming a professional soccer player. He was trying to figure out which direction to go, but the money was better in the NBA. So.
He goes both ways?
He goes both ways.
Soccer and basketball. Interesting. A groundbreaking announcement from NBA veteran Jason Collins reverberated through Washington, generating accolades from lawmakers on Twitter and supportive phone call from President Obama. Hours after Collins disclosed his sexuality and did you read the article? It was beautiful that he wrote in Sports Illustrated. Obama reached out by phone, expressing his support and telling Collins he was impressed by his courage. Collins becomes the first active player in one of four major U.S. professional sports leagues to come out as gay. He played for six teams in 12 seasons, including his past season with the Washington Wizards, and is now a free agent. Oh, in every way, by the way, because everyone's asking, is he single? Apparently he is.
Okay,
I sussed that out from the article. Other than that, he said we can just mind our own business.
So are we supposed to call it the NBA? Hey. No.
Stop it.
No.
Jamboree's Ward.
He wants to be known as a great basketball player, not as a gay basketball player.
See, once in a while, there's a joke you could hear on a right-wing show, or this doesn't matter. First Lady Michelle Obama chimed in on Twitter. She wrote, so proud of you, Jason Collins. This is a huge step forward for our country. We got your back. It was signed MO, signifying she wrote it herself.
Yep.
Former President Bill Clinton also voiced encouragement, releasing a statement that asks fans, NBA colleagues, and the media to support and respect him. Clinton said he has known Collins since he attended Stanford with his daughter, Chelsea. Hmm. There you go.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yes, and Chelsea tweeted some support to him as well.
Oh, awesome.
Mm. Yep.
And then we had the predictable right-wing tooliness.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I wonder, I hope this doesn't affect him getting picked up, but that was Rush Limbaugh, of course.
Right.
He said that he only did it because if he doesn't get picked up, then he can sue or...
Right, he's had a 12-year career, and so yeah. He's kind of at the end of his career, so there is a chance that he might not get picked up anyway.
Yeah. He wants to play, that's what he
wants
said.
To play, yes.
Give me my fine American music,
okay.
Please. Yeah, and just some key, he wrote this in Sports Illustrated. He said, I thought this part was cute. He said, I wish I wasn't the kid in the classroom raising his hand and saying I'm different. If I had my way, someone else would have already done this. Nobody has, which is why I'm raising my hand. He said, imagine you're in the oven baking. Some of us know and accept our sexuality right away, and some need more time to cook. I should know. I baked for 33 years. I think that's important. Remember somebody called, we were talking about the whole marriage debate, and they said, you know, what difference does it make if in fact you're born that way or you choose it at a certain point in your life or later? What difference should it make to free people in a free country? When I was younger, I dated women. I even got engaged. I realized I needed to go public when Joe Kennedy, my old roommate at Stanford, told me he was going to march in Boston's 2012 Gay Pride Parade. I'm seldom jealous of others, but hearing what Joe had done filled me with envy. I was proud of him for participating, but angry that as a closeted gay man, I couldn't even cheer my straight friend as a spectator.
Yeah.
If I'd been questioned, I would have concocted half-truths. What a shame to have to lie at a celebration of pride. I want to do the right thing and not hide anymore. I want to march for tolerance, acceptance, and understanding. I want to take a stand and say me too. The recent Boston Marathon bombing reinforced the notion I shouldn't wait for the circumstances of my coming out to be perfect. That's very key, because there's always someone that's going to go, why now, or why not sooner, or yeah. Things can change in an instant, so why not live truthfully? When I told Joe a few weeks ago I was gay, he was grateful that I trusted him. He asked me to join him in 2013. We'll be marching on June 8th. Yay. No one wants to live in fear. I've always been scared of saying the wrong thing. I don't sleep well. I never have. I don't sleep well either, but that's now for entirely different reasons. I am just a hot mess. But each time I tell another person, I feel stronger and I sleep a little more soundly. It takes an enormous amount of... See? It's a truth Ambien. That's what it is.
Sure.
It takes an enormous amount of energy to guard such a big secret. I've endured years of misery and gone to enormous lengths to live a lie. I was certain my world would fall apart if anybody knew. And this is the part, we got to talk to Shelley about this. My parents instilled Christian values in me. They taught Sunday school. I enjoyed lending a hand. I take the teachings of Jesus seriously because the ones that, particularly the ones that touch on tolerance and understanding. And he also an interesting point. He said, I don't let my race define me any more than I want than my sexual orientation to. I don't want to be labeled, and I can't let someone else's label define me. Anyway, then he talks about, this was interesting. He said when he was traded to the Wizards, the political significance of coming out sunk in. A college classmate tried to persuade me to come out then and there, but I couldn't yet. My one small gesture of solidarity was to wear the jersey number 98 with the Celtics and the Wizards. The number has great significance to the gay community. One of the most notorious hate crimes, Matthew Shepard, occurred in 1998. I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. And even about that, apparently he made jokes about it.
Yeah.
So, you know, people, they see, he just said, I just wanted to make it hard for the refs to call a foul on me.
Yeah.
You know. I've been asked how other players will respond to my announcement. The simple answer is I have no idea. I'm a pragmatist. I hope for the best, but plan for the worst. The biggest concern seems to be that gay players will behave unprofessionally in the locker room. Believe me, I've taken plenty of showers in 12 seasons. My behavior wasn't an issue before, and it won't be one now. Anyway, he goes on to say, I hope fans will respect me for raising my hand. I hope my teammates will remember I've never been an in-your-face kind of guy. All you need to know is I'm single. I see no need to delve into specifics. Anyway, and he says, I'm glad I can stop hiding and refocus on my 12th NBA season. 13th, excuse me. I've been running through the Santa Monica Mountains in a 30-pound vest with Shadow, the German Shepherd I got from Mike Miller.
Aww.
He's another player. In the pros, the older you get, the better shape you must be in. Next season, a few more eyeballs are likely to be on me. That only motivates me to work harder. So good for him. He said he doesn't care if he gets booed. He's been booed before. But y'all better not boo. Just saying. Yeah, I love that. Literally, I thought, what tech will they take, you know, in right-wing radio? Literally yesterday, he was saying that over on the other station.
Uh-huh.
That the real judge of tolerance will be if we tolerate the homophobes that Jason makes feel oogie. That'll be the real test. Okay.
Whatever.
Oh,
huh. Okay.
Scott in Iowa, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Scott.
Morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Mr. Collins, when he came out yesterday, hey, that's fine. What isn't really said on the same line, that 6'8" player from Baylor, the gal, she came out around the WNBA draft saying that she was a lesbian.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, nothing is said about that. Even when the draft was for the women.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, nothing was ever really said about that, but maybe it would have been different if she would have been in the WNBA for like 10 years, too. I don't know.
I hate to say it, Scott, but a 6'8" woman that plays basketball, I'm just saying it probably wasn't, you know, as shocking.
Right. Exactly. Good point. Good point. Yes.
All right. Okay. Thank you, Scott. Okay. By the way, I don't know if you heard this story. There is a Catholic school, well, gym teacher, who
right.
turns out to be a lesbian, which I know also is
shocking.
Anyway, but she got fired. I don't know. We haven't even. Well, we'll delve into that when we get back. Mm-hmm. But I mean, she just mentioned her partner in her mother's obituary in the paper, and
yeah.
she got
so sad.
She got fired. Anyway, yeah. apparently they were incredibly shocked that their gym teacher happened to be. Oh.
Yes. My school's female gym teacher had a mustache. So
really?
Yeah.
What's your point?
She was Saddam Hussein? What?
Miss Richwine.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Al Sharpton would say she is a... Right. Okay. 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the...
Lesbian...
Stephanie Miller Show. Thank you very much.
There's a tea party in her pants, and you're invited. Call now, 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
I guess I'll just start talking since our computer
okay.
has died. Hello, 49 minutes after the hour. Okay. If I can only get a little help from the backstage crew around here. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Steve alerted to me to this story we were just talking about. Steph, have you covered the firing of Carla Hale, PE teacher at a Catholic school in Columbus, Ohio? She listed her partner's name in her mother's obituary. An anonymous person complained to the school, and the school fired her.
Wow.
So in case you think that discrimination doesn't still exist, there's that. And yeah. again, totally shocked that there was a lesbian gym teacher. I guess she, by the way, she was not alerted to this. Physical exercise prevents you from becoming gay, according to a UK counselor
right.
candidate. Wait a minute. Let me take this. Michelle
yeah.
in Columbus, her son goes to that school. Hello, Michelle.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good, go ahead.
My stepson attends this school where the teacher was fired. First of all, it's a Catholic school.
Mm-hmm.
Keep that in mind. But I asked him, so what do you think about this? How are your friends? How's the rest of the school responding? First of all, they are forbidden to discuss this during school on school property.
Hmm.
Outside of that, there's an online petition of over 88,000 signatures now supporting her.
Wow. Wow.
And as far as I know, she was supposed to be, put back in her job temporarily or till whoever needs to work out whatever. Mm. But I think with it being a Catholic school, it's a stickier issue. But also in the city of Columbus, there is a law forbidding firing teachers for race, gender, homosexuality.
Right.
So it's still kind of a little up in the air right now.
Huh.
What will happen going forward?
Yeah. Well, I mean,
totally support her. Alumni, it's really cool to see. And I was asking my stepson, do you have any openly, kids that are out? Is it a big deal at your school now? And he's like, no. Nobody cares.
Yeah. Well, that's the irony, right? They're trying to protect the children, I'm sure. Who could care less?
Thing. I asked him, so what are you and your friends, interracial relationships, is that a big deal? And they're no. I mean,
wow.
The kids now just...
Yep.
She was a great teacher. They love her, and nobody cares. And it was one parent who complained.
Yeah, unbelievable. By the way, what does your Finch think? That's the important thing.
It's a cockatiel.
Oh, good, good. Well, thank you for calling from the aviary this morning. We appreciate it.
Thanks. The dogs and cats are all sitting outside. It's a beautiful sunny day.
Oh, yay.
See, you know why the dogs and cats are living together? Because there's lesbians in Columbus.
There you go.
All right.
But apparently First Amendment doesn't apply in Columbus if you're not allowed to discuss it on school grounds.
Wow. You have to take a vow of silence. Catholic school now?
Supersedes
I did not.
That.
Yeah, I did not know. All right, our pal David Bender joins us now. Good morning, David Bender.
Good morning, Stephanie Miller. It is a great day for America. How about that?
It's a big gay day.
It is a big gay day, and this is a big gay guy. He's 7 feet tall.
Yeah, yes. That's a lot of gay.
He's super.
That's
thanks
a lot
for asking.
Of gay. And he has a twin, too. How about that?
I know, a straight twin. And who, by the way, twin. He said was shocked when he came out. He said, so much for twin telepathy.
but completely supportive. And you know, I was listening to you talk about how the right wing says tolerance will be if we tolerate the homophobes, which, you know, there's a new movie out about Jackie Robinson.
Yeah.
And you saw Jackie Robinson come out and go around the major leagues in baseball in 1947, and the stuff that was yelled at him, the N-word was probably the mildest of it. Awful stuff. And he kept playing. He had 300 plus. He was amazing. But the real test of this is not going to be whether, you know, you get a tweet from the president, however, or a call, however wonderful that is. It's what the fans are going to do. And we are in a different time. Jason Collins actually said, I'm glad I did this in 2013, not 2003.
Yeah. And you already have a, you know, Breitbart writer saying, you know, oh, so he's a hero. I guess we've really, our standard for heroism has dropped quite a bit since Normandy. But you know what? He is a hero because as somebody said about Jackie Robinson, David, they said, do you remember the second black player? No. I mean, you know, it's like,
no.
And that's the thing is that does take courage to be the first.
And also I suspect there may have been some gay soldiers hitting the beach at Normandy.
Jim Ward, yeah. Thank you very much. I was about to say the same thing. There were gay soldiers at Normandy. There have been gay soldiers going back, you know, to the Civil War and the mm-hmm. Revolutionary War. They didn't get to talk about it. Jason Collins is doing something amazing and talking about it. Now, here's the key. The word has it. And, Stephanie, I know you follow Sports Illustrated and ESPN.
Yes.
When you go home, ESPN is on 24/7 at the Stephanie Miller House. I want everyone to know that. So when you go home, check it out. The rumor is that the Boston Celtics may well give Collins a one-year deal. That's going to be significant. Who signs him and what happens going forward? Really, if he doesn't play, a lot of people are going to say, hey, it's because he came out and it was too much of a distraction. Somebody's got to step up. It's the next event that's going to be key. What team will sign him?
And yeah, that'll
be amazing.
As you know, the Bravery somehow shockingly lost on Rush Limbaugh, who said he just did it so he could sue if he doesn't get picked up.
Yeah, like you can sue because discrimination in employment is legal in America.
Yeah.
You can't sue.
By the way, he'll probably have time to get divorced and married a couple more times before Jason gets to sign with someone.
Yes.
So
can any of his wives sue just on principle?
Just
because they were married to him?
Just for PTSD, I would think so.
I would think again. But what will be really interesting, and here's what I hope all of us do, is if Jason Collins is playing, then there ought to be fans who go out there and cheer him and applaud him and say, listen, we have your back. Just what Michelle Obama said. We have your back. Because we applaud what you did.
And let's hope it leads to more Chris Cluey's, more straight allies coming out in support. And Chris is going to be on the show tomorrow. But, mm-hmm. you know, it's people like Chris also that are a hero in the sense of trying to make it, you know, safer for their teammates, right?
He's amazing. I saw him interviewed yesterday. Did you see Rachel Maddow last night as she opened her show, and she said, you know, when I came out in school, I was on the basketball team, and I went to my former players, and the co-captain of my team said, did you actually like me when we were playing together? And she said, no, you're not my type.
Yes. Exploding the myth forever. The gay people like everyone of the same sex. Right.
But the perfect comeback was the woman said, really? Why not? That's America. That's the America I want to live in.
Rejected by Rachel Maddow before you even knew. Exactly.
Exactly.
All
well,
right.
this is a great day, and I can't wait to hear Shelley Wright. And you know, more gay whispers is what we need.
There you go. There you go. You're a gay shouter because you speak
I'm
very,
a gay
very
shouter.
Loud.
I'm what they call a screamer.
Yes. All right. All right. Goodbye, honey.
See?
All right. There he goes. 58 minutes after the hour. Back with PR guru Howard Bragman next on the Stephanie Miller Show. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. We will go to the President's Press Conference live when he'll be late.
He usually is.
Okay. It'll be in a few minutes. Charlie Pierce of Esquire.com and the official country star of the Stephanie Miller Show, Shelley Wright, coming up next hour. Howard Bragman, he's the guy. He's the PR guru.
Yes.
Exactly. If you're coming out, you call Howard Bragman. and he joins us now. Good morning, honey.
How are you, Sunshine?
I'm good, Moonshine. Now, tell me, you obviously, you consulted on the USA Network series Necessary Roughness, and it was a fictional thing about what if a professional athlete comes out, right?
I did. I've had the privilege of taking, about 15 celebrities out of the closet, including a dozen actors and TV personalities, people like Meredith Baxter and Don Lemon and four professional athletes. So, yeah, I've been doing this a long time.
You probably know just when someone calls you that they're gay, right?
You know what?
Oh, let me guess.
Sometimes, yes. Okay, when I got the Meredith Baxter call, that one threw me a little, okay? That one, it was like, wow, this is an interesting one. You know, as I always say, there's two kinds. There's like, duh, and there's wows, okay?
There's two categories. Well, so the series you consulted on, it was talking about whether if a gay professional football player came out and how he would handle his PR. And this is, I mean, what is your reaction so far on Jason?
Well, I think I wish I'd done it. It's been handled pretty much flawlessly as far as I can tell. It hit the heart of the sports world on the cover of Sports Illustrated, a beautiful first-person article that told his story, it told his passions, it told his reasons. And then I saw his interview this morning with George Stephanopoulos on Good Morning America. And he's just articulate, intelligent, and it's pretty amazing. He's a pretty remarkable guy. And I think those of us in the LGBT community can be proud that he's representing us in a lot of ways.
Howard, you know, our good friend Shelley Wright, who you also worked with, doesn't this remind you of that country music, just like professional sports, you know, people would say, wow, that's in the wow category, right?
Yeah, it's absolutely in the wow category. The difference being country music sadly didn't rush to embrace Shelley, and yesterday it seemed like almost everyone was embracing Jason, from the president and the first lady to Kobe Bryant to, you know, Bill Clinton. I mean, it was extraordinary. The support came from almost all quarters yesterday with very few dissenting voices.
Howard, what do you think that is? Do you think that, I mean, I think gay rights is moving, obviously, at such an incredible pace for a civil rights battle. Do you feel like there is a time, just in terms of when Shelley did it to now, that it would be different in the country music world, or is the country music world just that much more entrenched, do you think, than even professional sports?
I do think the country music world is one of the problems, and I don't think if Shelley, you know, what that was probably 3 years ago, I don't think it would have made that much of a difference. We are moving quickly, but in a lot of ways, we have turned the corner. And
well, I mean, but Howard, I think we were talking about the Chris Cluey's of the world, too, is, you know, I think that, you know, God bless the people that also, the brave straight allies that, you know, have come out and sort of paved the way a little bit, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think of John Amici, the former NBA player who came out a few years ago. I think of my friend Dave Coppé, who came out, you know, literally decades ago. Dave's 70 now, and he was the first team sports guy to come out. He was an NFL player, and I think of all these heroes that our movements had, and now the momentum's been picked up by people like Chris Cluey and Hudson Taylor and his organization, Athlete Ally. But, you know, society, as you said, Stephanie, has turned this corner, and homophobia is kind of right up there with racism anymore. And sports, we also, you know, the movie 42 is out about Jackie Robinson. Sports used to be ahead of the curve, and in this battle, they've gotten behind the curve. And so I think it's good that we're making a step closer to catching up, and I hope it inspires other athletes to consider coming out.
Well, that, I was just going to say, yeah, I mean, that's what you hope is that, and as he said, you know, so movingly, like, he didn't want to be the kid to raise his hand first, but since no one else did it, right?
Well, when you're 7 feet tall, you don't even have to raise your hand. You just have to sit there, I suppose. Yeah, and I think the message that's going to be sent, not only, you know, I've worked with so many actors, and I've never worked with anyone who didn't have a little trepidation about coming out, okay? It's just, I don't care how loved you are, how successful you are, it's still a moment. And everyone to a person is a happier person after and feels like the weight of the world's been lifted. And more importantly, opportunities come your way that wouldn't have come otherwise. I mean, you know, by all accounts, somebody said, well, Jason was really a mediocre NBA player. Well, a mediocre NBA player is a superstar athlete. Let's be clear on that one. But do you think he would have got the cover of Sports Illustrated otherwise? Probably not. So you look at the kind of opportunities. Hopefully a team will pick him up. Hopefully he'll get some interesting endorsements that he might not have had. Nike, one of his sponsors, came out and said incredibly positive things, and they've been great on this issue. So I think when other athletes see this world of opportunity, you know, maybe some of the straight guys are going to fake it and come out, you know?
There's the slogan, just get over it. Just do it. Something. Howard, help me. You're a PR genius. What's the new slogan?
I like get over it, you know? I mean, I think it's true, and I think we have to judge this guy on his ability, and I don't think, as a 7 foot tall guy, I don't think he's going to have a lot of confrontations, do you?
I think you
confront at your own risk.
Howard, you mentioned actors and actors, which actors and actresses, obviously you've represented a lot. That seems to be another bastion when you talk about sports or country music. I mean, leading men and leading ladies in particular, right? I mean, I think that's always been the fear that, audiences won't buy romantic stories. And you would hope that we're getting to the point of being past that too, but I guess we're not yet, are we?
Well, we don't really have, I mean, I guess in Jodie Foster, who sort of came out, oddly, we've had, you know, some women who have come out. We do not have a male leading actor, but, you know, there's a difference there. There's a couple differences. One, we do have gay male leading men, and we sort of all know who they are. They just, you know, would rather go to the grave with their secret and sue you than come out. And whatever the reason, that's their choice, number one. And number two, when an athlete comes out, a male athlete in particular, they're breaking a stereotype. We're not breaking a stereotype when an actor comes out. You know, it's like, gee, a gay actor? Shocker.
Yeah.
and it's, you know, so we have to be aware of that they are there. And it's, boy, I look at Ellen, I look at Neil Patrick Harris, who's, you know, doing amazing things on television, mm-hmm. on Broadway, hosting the Tonys. You know, look at Jane Lynch, and society's ready. It's such a personal decision. It used to be, I remember when Tom Hanks won his Oscar for Philadelphia, people said, yeah, we'll buy a straight guy playing a gay guy, but we won't buy a gay guy playing a straight guy. I think we're beyond that.
Right.
I think young people...
Neil Patrick Harris.
Yeah, I hope we're beyond people going, oh, that's so brave.
Yeah.
What?
That's not condescending.
Hot is hot to young people. You know what I mean? I think they look at an actor and go, he's hot, and they don't really care about
their sexual orientation. They're so used to it. As you know, as I always say, the generation of kids today, and the statistics are something like 81% support gay marriage of younger people.
Yeah.
Could you ever watch Will and Grace or Modern Family and be afraid of a gay person again? Could you really?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. No, I know, but I was saying, it's just talk about those sort of condescending things, like talking about, you know, applauding a straight actor for being brave enough to play, you know, a gay. They're actors, for God's sake. Sigourney Weaver's not really blue. She just played that in Avatar or whatever.
Wait, she's not? Hold on.
Am I blue? Am I blue?
Howard, you know, it's interesting. One of the things Jason talks about in his piece in Sports Illustrated is the showers. It's like people seem to be just inordinate, whether it was the military, they inordinately focused on the showers. And I think that's one of the things that probably is good. You go, oh, I've been showering with gay guys for years. Like, I mean, just to get past the thing that gay people are attracted to everyone of their same sex, right?
Yeah, and one of my clients used to say that he thought the fear of straight men of showering with gay men was inversely proportional to their attractiveness, okay? So, yeah, it's silly.
It is always the guys that no gay guy would want to go near.
Exactly.
What are you looking at? Why aren't you looking at me?
It perpetuates the stereotype that, number one, gay men are predators, you know, and that we can't keep it in our pants. And that, you know, the shower room, we talked about this. John Amici had this when he came out. We were doing the media tour. And the answer is simple. It's a workplace. Have you ever been in a major sports locker room? There is nothing literally that's less sexy.
Yeah.
It's not YMCA, okay? I promise you. It's a bunch of, you know, it's a bunch of coaches, it's female reporters walking around, it's people on cell phones, it's people doing their business, it's people getting showered and getting out of there, doing interviews. You know, it's like nobody says anything about our brave first responders, our firemen, our police officers who are showering together. They
right.
somehow seem to manage that without raping
right.
each other.
I think most people's workplace is the least sexy place, really? I mean, ask these guys. When you're forced to be with people you don't really like for hours, it's not really...
How are the showers at the radio station? Yeah.
We don't shower in radio. Anyway.
We don't have showering in baseball.
We don't have smell-o-vision. We don't have to shower.
We're just grungy. All right. Howard Bragman, always a delight, sir. Thanks so much for joining us on such an important day.
Thanks a lot. It
All
is
right.
historic, and thanks for having me on.
Appreciate
Bye-bye.
It. There he goes, Howard Bragman, 17 minutes after the hour. Right back with the President's Press Conference Live as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call Stephanie now. She's easy. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
All right, Jim and I had to just go make the show less gay. We showered together during the break.
It was a quick shower.
Yeah.
With our clothes on.
Yeah, it was nice. So. 22 minutes after the hour, 1-800-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere, awaiting the President's press conference, and also Charlie Pierce coming up from Esquire.com. Yeah, just kind of hilarious news on such a historic day that Jason Collins came out. The story is out of the UK.
Okay.
We mentioned it earlier. Physical exercise prevents you from becoming gay, according to a UK candidate. He made a series of anti-gay Facebook comments, including congratulating Russia for banning gay pride. In a series of Facebook posts, John Sullivan, a UKIP party candidate, he likened gay activists to termites and stated feminism is evil, being gay is even worse.
I see. He has to see all those gay termite mounds in West Hollywood. Yeah,
right,
proof of that.
Right. I love the one reader stated, regular exercise made me even gayer. Not in my gym, said another.
Yeah, exactly.
He's never been to Gold's, apparently.
He's never been to Gold's in Hollywood.
He recommended Victorian-style regular physical exercise be reinstated in
Victorian
schools.
Victorian-style? What? Medicine balls?
like the guys with the mustaches,
right.
The big mustaches.
Right.
The striped suits.
That's probably
lifting barbells with one hand.
Right. It's the newfangled machine. It's ellipticals that make you gay, obviously.
I see. Yes.
The old style, Victorian style.
Spinning makes you gay.
Wow, does it? to be reinstated in schools, as it apparently causes releases of tension, which prevents homosexuality.
Ah.
Right.
Right.
Hmm.
I see.
Yes. Sullivan also congratulated Russia for banning gay pride, saying, well done, the Russians. Yes.
Those pogroms. Those are really neat.
A lot of stuff well done by the Russians regularly.
Hmm.
Gack. He also claimed feminism is evil, suggesting homosexuality is even worse, saying it doesn't go there.
What doesn't go where? Oh, that. I see what you mean.
Yes, that.
Okay. Make sure you knock on every straight person's door to let them know as well.
You're not doing it right.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It doesn't go there.
Okay. All right. Here's some other breaking news for you, by the way. Not all gay people do that. Okay. All right. Oh, by the way, so then in the other homophobe news, just on this historic day, we were talking about the members of Washington State's, the two Republicans. They're trying to, Senator Sherrod Brown.
Right.
She introduced Senate Bill 5927, which would allow businesses in the state to deny services to individuals based on religious or philosophical differences. Bill created as a response to the lawsuit filed against a florist in Richland, Washington, who had refused to provide flowers for a gay wedding, cited religious objections to homosexuality. Jay Castro, a reader of the Seattle-based blog The Stranger, called up one of the bill's co-sponsors, as I mentioned earlier, State Senator Mike Hewitt's office, to ask why he was supporting the bill. And he asked about the rural gays. He said, what about rural gays supposed to do if the only gas station or grocery store for miles won't sell them gas or food? The staffer said gay people can just grow their own food.
And gasoline, apparently. Yeah.
Apparently, yes. Mm. Then they finally reached the office again. They said it was a poor response to a question. That's all I really want to say about that, said the staffer.
He
caught me at a bad time. I'm not interested in answering hypotheticals. It was a combative call. Patience was lost. Mistakes were made.
Okay. Republican passive voice, right?
Mistakes were made
by somebody.
All right. Boy. Speaking of mistakes, hey, thanks a lot, Sandy Day O'Connor. Thanks so much. We mentioned
thanks
this
for
yesterday.
Chiming in.
Yeah, this is what this soundbite was made for. Now a warning. Really? Now a warning?
And how many people
now
have died?
Now a warning?
Because of that horrible mistake?
Retired Supreme Court Justice Sandy Day O'Connor suggested in a weekend interview the high court should have stayed out of the 2000 election. Just warning
thanks.
You now.
Now a warning?
Maybe the court should have said we're not going to take it. Goodbye. It turned out the election authorities in Florida hadn't done a real good job there and kind of messed it up. Oh, no, Jeb Bush did it exactly the way he wanted to do it.
Right.
And so what's his name? Oh, what's her name? Catherine Harris.
Oh, her.
Yes, they didn't mess it up. They did a really good job. And probably the Supreme Court added to the problem at the end of the day.
You think?
You think?
I remember I have the Catherine Harris fight.
Oh. Today was such an incredible day. It was a historic day because one woman launched a United States Senate campaign and another woman successfully piloted the shuttle launch back to Earth.
I don't think anyone notified her that there already were women in the Senate. So it was not actually a historic day.
Right.
Just because you jumped in, Bat.
And lost. Horribly.
Horribly.
Just saying.
Wow. It's such a historic day. Well, there's never been a woman in the Senate.
And remember when she was on TV doing that on the Sean Hannity show? She was on a three-quarter term.
Oh, yeah.
And her
chest
about? Was out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was like pageant style.
Yes.
She was like, look at my rack, Sean.
Whatever happened to her?
I don't know. I haven't even thought of her since.
I know.
Thanks for digging all this up, Sandy O'Connor.
She's probably in a trailer park with her dead mother. No, that's a different story.
She's from Florida, so that is not far from...
That'd be the least weird thing that happened in Florida.
Yeah. Maybe she just dropped into a sinkhole.
Oh, boy. You know what? There was a story we missed 2 days ago, I think. Yes, I think it was 2 days ago in Florida. Same something. Naked guy tasered by the cop. Oh, he punched a female cop. They tasered him 6 times. It didn't work. And he yelled, don't cut off my penis. And then he paused and said... No, cut off my penis.
What?
Yeah, it
was
awesome.
What?
It was from Florida. Yeah, I'll find it. I'll find the story.
Oh, boy.
Okay, in a 2010 interview, Sandra Day O'Connor said she didn't know if it was right, but she added she didn't worry about it because several recounts found that Bush would have won the state regardless. Those recounts were actually limited.
Right.
Sandy, just a warning. Had Al Gore been able to trigger a statewide recount, the result likely would have been different. She also linked the declining public perception of the Supreme Court to that decision.
Yeah.
I think Jeffrey Toobin, who knows her, said, did she regret her vote in Bush v. Gore? Did she regret the Bush presidency? You bet she did, and you bet she does.
Huh.
Thanks, Sandy. Thanks.
Great. And she had a hand in that. Great.
Hey, Sarah, Sarah. Okay.
You know, perhaps invading Poland wasn't such a good idea after all.
Awesome. I knew you'd wedge a Hitler thing in there. 29 minutes after the hour, right back with Charlie Pierce on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
You are the kind of ill-informed gas bag this network cannot get enough of.
Awesome. 34 minutes after the hour, we await the president's press conference. And here he is. It's Tuesday.
There's only one man now that understands. And that's the author of Idiot America.
Pierce. Charlie Pierce, political columnist for Esquire.com.
Why is everybody always laughing with me?
Woohoo! Happy big gay day in sports, Charlie Pierce.
Happy big gay day in sports to you too, Stephanie.
as a renowned sports writer, what do you think?
Obviously it's a I'll have a piece up on Grantland.com probably the next hour or so about it. Obviously it's a major development and one that we can one that we're all happy to see happen. I'm happy that the reaction has been so favorable. I don't know, how much of the backlash is still out there. And I'm a little bit unnerved by the self-congratulation of in 2013 that we are such an evolved country that this can happen. I mean, that makes me a little bit unnerved.
Yeah.
But, otherwise, I mean, it's another step, right?
By the way, David Bender said there was rumor the Boston Celtics might sign him?
Well, they've already had. He's been here.
Right. No, I know. But I thought they.
It's entirely possible. Doc Rivers, the coach of the Celtics, has been really terrific about the whole issue ever since it broke. So.
Right. Yeah. But I mean, the rumor was a one-year deal with the Celtics. But I don't know if you'd heard.
No.
Charlie. I know. We were saying that. I think that I hope it leads to more.
Yeah. I mean, I hope it leads to second string high school centers on second string centers on high school basketball teams in Indiana feeling free to do it.
Yeah.
I mean that's where the rubber really meets the road. I mean Jason Collins is a good player. He's nearing the end of his career. I do not diminish in any way what he did. But I think if it gets the folks comfortable at the lower levels, then that's all for the good.
Yeah, absolutely. Charlie, obviously another big Boston news. So they found female DNA on some of the bomb parts. Obviously, they're taking DNA from Tamerlan's wife, correct?
Right. And I'm fairly sure they will concentrate on the mom at some point too, although she wasn't around. But it's a slow grinding investigation, and now we're into the real forensics of it.
Well, and also the latest is that they're obviously in discussions with Johar where he would cooperate in exchange for avoiding the death penalty.
Yeah, I think that's probably the deal that's going to be cut. Although I'm still unclear as to what he can tell them beyond himself and his family. I'm not sold that there's a tremendous amount of overseas connection here yet, and I'm not.
I loved your piece about Misha, because he was like it was our obsession for a while. It turned out to be nothing, I guess, right?
Well, the guy, he actually works for Foreign Affairs, but didn't post it on Foreign Affairs. The guy went and found him. And the guy's living in his house and telling him how the lovely meetings he had with the nice people from the FBI. And, this seems to, this whole thing seems to, he was a lot more effective a villain, I think, when he was shadowy. The shadowy red-bearded Armenian.
Yeah.
And I thought this was significant that Peter King, Representative Peter King, Republican of New York, even admitted this.
If the Russians had given the FBI the information they had regarding the mother and the son, and their views on the mother's radicalization and the son's radicalization, it would have dramatically changed the investigation.
Well, and that's what, you know, obviously the latest coming out, Charlie, is in everybody's, you know, Republicans rush to blame the president for everything. And, oh, the FBI bungled it and the FBI bungled it. I mean, obviously we find that, you know, Russia didn't tell us what they were, you know, had they told us what they were basing their suspicions on, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that, you know, there's a gap in this story that I don't understand. The Russians are obviously interested in these guys because of the Chechen terrorism that's been taking place in Russia, which has not taken place here.
Right.
So, I mean, I'm just guessing that this is just a glitch between, you know, intelligence agencies who are not inclined to play well with the other children anyway.
Right. Right. Charlie, in other news, you know, you always, well, first of all, we've been joking about the Sandra Day O'Connor. I love you entitled just her bad.
Yeah. I mean,
regrets. Sandra Day O'Connor has a few. Yeah. It's really unbelievable.
And again,
right?
Too few.
Yeah. I guess we never should have taken the case. Well, yeah, there were people who were saying that at the time. Sandy,
right.
You know, I mean.
Right. Yes. I do recall. You said
like
the
everybody.
Yeah, you said the overwhelming public opinion was behind the notion that we should get it right, however long that took, and we didn't.
Yeah, I mean, it got the having the Supreme Court involved got popular when the Supreme Court got involved. But
right.
Prior to that, it was, you know, as I point out, we had a president. He liked the job. He was perfectly willing to do it for an extra couple of weeks if he had to.
Yeah, yeah. And I love your point. You say the thing that really bothers me about O'Connor's mea, not so much culpa, is the contention that one of the reasons the court determined it should on its own reputation for purely political purposes was that the public was stirred up.
I don't believe it was, actually. I mean, I believe it was being entertained by the television show, but I think the public was perfectly willing to let the constitutional process play out.
Right.
I mean, I still believe that.
Yeah.
But as I said, as soon as the Supreme Court bigfooted the event, then everybody thought, well, yes, let's let the Supreme Court decide.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Now, part of your job is always to harsh my buzz just a little bit, because I'm looking at all these polls saying a lot of backlash against a lot of the Senate members who voted against background checks. But you say you can't count these numbers as any kind of sea change. Seriously, does anyone honestly believe that Jeff Flake is going to be replaced by anyone whose position on guns is to Flake's left in Arizona?
Yeah.
And I think that is true in that particular case.
I think it's true in Arizona. I think it's true in Alaska. Kelly Ayotte may actually be in trouble. New Hampshire is a very, very strange state right now.
Yeah, well, and the NRA has just taken out a great big ad thanking her, so that may not, that may not help her.
Yeah, well, we'll see. She's not up for a while either. But she's been sort of, you know, bopping around. You know, she's been trying to establish this national profile as this kind of security expert, you know, being the cruise director on the McCain-Graham, you know, love boat. But she being Julie, your cruise director. But, this has turned out to be a real problem for her back home, because New Hampshire is a different kind of place.
You say the only way it can gain power is as an important element in a general critique of Republican governance and of conservative policies as being generally bad for the nation. The votes on gun laws have to be made an example of something greater, not just a single egregious flouting of the people's will. You know, as you say, the vote has to be made into just another reason not to vote for these guys and for the Democrats who made common cause with them. And also keep people's attention in this 24/7 news cycle, right? So that in 2 years, people are still.
Yeah, that's the other thing that bothers me. I know there's a lot more money on the pro-gun control side now than there used to be, and there used to be a lot of momentum. It's a long ways away for some of these people. And there is no telling what the economy is going to be like. You're going to have a presidential election that's going to be wide open. I have no idea what the salience of this issue is going to be 2 years down the line.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, although I have to say, somebody made a good point. Mediaite says, you know, the mainstream media has continued to reinforce the narrative. The NRA has political energy on its side. Which, you know, I'm just saying, at least these polls now, you know, lay further waste to that claim, don't they?
Yeah, I think to an extent, and I think it gives people something to talk about, and it gives some people some political cover. But I want to see this issue decide an election. I want to see this issue decide an election in a place like Arizona before I'm willing to take these numbers as seriously as a lot of people are.
Yeah, well, I mean, I find it at least encouraging, because, like you say, it's not just Kelly Ayotte. It's Lisa Murkowski, it's Mark Begich, it's Rob Portman, it's Dean Heller. I mean, you know, so it's not one poll in one state, right?
Well, yeah, but at the same time, I want to see who comes up to defeat Rob Portman on the issue of gun control. If you could defeat Ron Portman on the issue of being a Republican, then that's what you're looking for.
How about being Bush's economic director?
Well, yeah, it's like Mitch Daniels being Bush's budget director.
Right, right.
Like giving Joe Hazelwood another oil tanker.
Right, right, exactly. All right, Charlie Pierce, we're gonna go to the president's press conference.
Oh well, then I'll have to be getting off the air then.
Oh well, we love you now. We know you'll want to watch.
All right.
All right.
Thanks,
love you,
Charlie.
All right. Bye, honey. Yeah, I was looking at these Zoinks. The Zoinks is what Mediaite writes. New poll shows more backlash against Senate defeat of background checks. The evidence continues to mount that the U.S. Senate's sabotage of the background check bill could come back to haunt those who engineered it. And we were talking about all of these different it's not just Arizona. It's Nevada. It's Arkansas, yada, yada. So we will see. We'll keep an eye on this.
Yes.
We are watching you. God is watching you. Don't make me play it again.
No,
we're going to break early here so we can come back with the president live on the Stephanie Miller Show.
That is great radio.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Eight minutes after the hour, we join the press conference with the president live.
We are the largest humanitarian donor. We have worked to strengthen the opposition. We have provided non-lethal assistance to the opposition. We have applied sanctions on Syria. So there are a whole host of steps that we've been taking precisely because, even separate from the chemical weapons issue, what's happening in Syria is a blemish on the international community generally, and we've got to make sure that we're doing everything we can to protect the Syrian people.
How soon before someone yells red line?
In that context, what I've also said is that the use of chemical weapons would be a game changer, not simply for the United States, but for the international community. And the reason for that is that we have established international law and international norms that say when you use these kinds of weapons, you have the potential of killing massive numbers of people in the most inhumane way possible. And the proliferation risks are so significant that we don't want that genie out of the bottle. So what I said that the use of chemical weapons would be a game changer, that wasn't a position unique to the United States, and it shouldn't have been a surprise. And what we now have is evidence that chemical weapons have been used inside of Syria, but we don't know how they were used, when they were used, who used them. Right. We don't have a chain of custody that establishes what exactly happened. And when I am making decisions about America's national security and the potential for taking additional action in response to chemical weapon use, I've got to make sure I've got the facts. That's what the American people would expect. And if we end up...
So glad we have a president who's not so rash.
Lindsey Graham on that fainting couch, I'm guessing.
Yes.
Can you imagine how Romney would handle this?
He's vaporing as we speak.
In a position where we can't mobilize the international community to support what we do. There may be objections, even among some people in the region who are sympathetic with the opposition if we take action. It's important for us to do this in a prudent way. And what I've said to my team is we've got to do everything we can to investigate and establish with some certainty what exactly has happened in Syria, what is happening in Syria. We will use all the assets and resources that we have at our disposal. We'll work with the neighboring countries to see whether we can establish a clear baseline of facts. And we've also called on the United Nations to investigate. But the important point I want to make here is that we already are deeply engaged in trying to bring about a solution in Syria. It is a difficult problem, but even if chemical weapons were not being used in Syria, we'd still be thinking about tens of thousands of people, innocent civilians, women, children, who've been killed by a regime that's more concerned about staying in power than it is about the well-being of its people. And so we are already deeply invested in trying to find a solution here.
What is true, though, is that if I can establish in a way that not only the United States but also the international community feel confident is the use of chemical weapons by the Assad regime, then that is a game changer, because what that portends is potentially even more devastating attacks on civilians, and it raises the strong possibility that those chemical weapons can fall into the wrong hands and get disseminated in ways that would threaten U.S. security or the security of our allies.
By game changer, you mean U.S. military action?
By game changer, I mean that we would have to rethink the range of options that are available to us.
Now, Stan, we're already thinking before we start bombing. When
in trying to bring about inside of Syria.
We have to strike now, sir. Obviously, annihilate.
The options that are available to me, they're on the shelf right now that we have not deployed, and that's a spectrum of options. As early as last year, I asked the Pentagon, our military, our intelligence officials to prepare for me what options might be available. And I won't go into the details of what those options might be, but clearly that would be an escalation, in our view, of the threat to the security of the international community, our allies, and the United States, and that means that there are some options that we might not otherwise exercise that we would strongly consider.
George Bush's
Gaza question. I know pieces of this story have been
two options. Shock off.
That's right.
But there are people in your own State Department saying they've been blocked from coming forward, that they survived the terror attack, and they want to tell their story. Will you help them come forward and just say it once and for all?
Ed, I'm not familiar with this notion that anybody's been blocked from testifying. So what I'll do is I will find out what exactly you're referring to. What I've been very clear about from the start is that our job with respect to Benghazi has been to find out exactly what happened, to make sure that U.S. embassies, not just in the Middle East but around the world, are safe and secure, and to bring those who carried it out to justice. But I'll find out what exactly you're referring to.
They hired an attorney because they're saying that they've been blocked from coming forward.
I'm not familiar with it. Jessica.
Mr. President, there's a report that your director of national intelligence has ordered a broad review. This is regards to the Boston bomb, Marathon bomb, that your DNI has ordered a broad review of all the intelligence gathering prior to the attack. There's also a series of senators, Susan Collins, Saxby Chambliss, Lindsey Graham, who allege that all the years after 9/11, there still wasn't enough intelligence shared prior to the attack. And now Lindsey Graham, who is a senior member of the Armed Services Committee, has said that Benghazi and Boston are both examples of the U.S. going backwards on national security. And did our intelligence miss something?
No, Mr. Graham is not right on this issue, although I'm sure it generated some headlines. I think that what we saw in Boston was state, local, federal officials, every agency, rallying around a city that had been attacked, identifying the perpetrators just hours after the scene had been examined. We now have one individual deceased, one in custody. Charges have been brought. I think that all our law enforcement officials performed in an exemplary fashion after the bombing had taken place, and we should be very proud of their work, as obviously we're proud of the people of Boston and all the first responders and the medical personnel that helped save lives. What we also know is that the Russian intelligence services had alerted U.S. intelligence about the older brother, as well as the mother, indicating that they might be sympathizers to extremists. The FBI investigated that older brother. It's not as if the FBI did nothing. They not only investigated the older brother, they interviewed the older brother. They concluded that There were no signs that he was engaging in extremist activity. So that much we know. And the question then is, was there something that happened that triggered radicalization and an actual decision by the brother to engage in the tragic attack we actually saw in Boston? And are there additional things that could have been done in that interim that might have prevented it? Now, what Director Clapper is doing is standard procedure around here, which is when an event like this happens, we want to go back and we want to review every step that was taken.
Yes. Be careful. They're being careful about the investigation.
But Lindsey Graham says,
is there, in fact, additional protocols and procedures that could be put in place that would further improve and enhance our ability to detect a potential attack? And we won't know that until that review is completed. We won't know that until the investigation of the actual crime is fully completed, and that's still ongoing. But what I can say is that based on what I've seen so far, the FBI performed its duties. Department of Homeland Security did what it was supposed to be doing. But this is hard stuff, and I've said for quite some time that because of the pressure that we put on Al-Qaeda Corp, because of the pressure that we put on these networks that are well-financed and more sophisticated.
All right, right back to discuss on the Stephanie Miller Show. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 6 minutes after the hour, we will discuss the president's press conference and what he said in just a moment. But first, oh my God.
What?
It is not just the official country star of the Stephanie Miller Show. It is the incredibly, spectacularly, hugely pregnant Shelley Wright who joins us now. Good morning, sweetness.
Good morning. Huge is the right word.
Incredibly.
It is just right.
Aww.
With twins. When they coming?
They are coming in 6 weeks or sooner.
Oh,
my God.
Okay.
Can you believe it?
Where am I on the babysitter list? Because kids love me, I will have you know.
Well, you're actually going to be our night nurse for the first...
Awesome.
I thought you got that memo.
Awesome. Perfect. I'm on it. I'm on
Hello,
it.
Hello, nurse.
Well, you know...
Yeah, so very pregnant. I've gained 43 pounds. My feet are swelling. I'm not complaining. I'm just giving you a lay of the land. So right
wow.
now I have my feet way up on about five pillows.
Wow. Not of National Enquirer like Sasquatch sightings. Oh, no, never mind. It's Shelley Wright. That's all right.
Stop it.
You've dealt with tabloids before, my friend. Now, listen, you know whenever someone comes out, your phone rings off the hook, right?
It does, and you're the only call I'm taking.
Oh.
Yeah, let's talk about this. It's a big deal, right?
It is a big deal. Well, you know, we just had Howard Bragman on, a PR guru who, you know, you worked with. And we were saying that it's, you know, reminded me of you because it's one of these bastions like country music, right, where this is a big deal.
Well, yeah, I think so. I mean, I think it's been well established due to the fact that in the four major American sports, no active player has ever, you know, come out of the closet and said, yep, this is who I am. And that's the same with country music. I'm sad to say I'm still the only one that has made the declaration, but, you know, these times are a-changing.
Well, you know, Shelley, we talked to Howard about that and really wanted to get your take on it, that, you know, he made the point that people in country music did not support you, that Jason so far seems to, thank God, have a lot of support already. Do you feel like that has more to do with country music or that we've come this far, this fast in the 2 or 3 years since you came out?
You know, I just tweeted something about that, something to the effect of so glad to see so many of Jason Collins' peers publicly affirming his coming out. It makes a big difference. And you know, I don't know. I guess I could characterize country music as perhaps even a little more conservative than sports, but I don't think that would be right. I think if I had come out today, I think a lot more country artists would publicly say, way to go, that's great, that's awesome, good for her, everyone deserves equality. I think it's a testament to the fact that in the 2.5, almost 3 years since I came out, well, actually 3 years since I came out, I think we have come leaps and bounds in our culture.
I remember when you came out because you shoved me out of the closet shortly thereafter, as we all know.
Did not shove you.
Kicked me with a cowboy boot.
I gently summoned you out of the closet.
You are my gay whisperer. Now, we got as also the official Christian of the Stephanie Miller Show, we also need you to respond. This is the other thing everybody's talking about. Chris Broussard, the ESPN sportscaster, said this.
As a result of the administration.
Oh, no, that's not it. That sounds like Mitch McConnell. That was scary.
Okay,
sorry. This is Chris Broussard.
That was scary.
Sorry. Don't scare a pregnant woman like that.
I'm sorry about that. Okay,
here
we go.
Personally, I don't believe that you can live an openly homosexual lifestyle or an openly premarital sex between heterosexuals. If you're openly living that type of lifestyle, then the Bible says you know them by their fruits. It says that, you know, that's a sin. And if you're openly living in unrepentant sin, whatever it may be, not just homosexuality, adultery, fornication, premarital sex between heterosexuals, whatever it may be, I believe that's walking in open rebellion to God and to Jesus Christ. So I would not characterize that person as a Christian because I don't think the Bible would characterize him as a Christian.
As we were saying, thank God, first of all, there's no NBA players that have ever engaged in premarital, extramarital sex. So that's...
Right.
Yes.
Good thing he doesn't have to speak out about NBA players at large.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, I don't know who this guy is, but I guess he has a platform and a forum. You know, he speaks on ESPN, and you've got audio clip, and I guess it's gone viral, but... You know, I feel like I can appreciate his opinion, It's my opinion that if a person can't be genuine about who he or she is, that you know, that person is doomed to a lack of integrity. And I say this because I walk that walk of not living up to my full potential as a sister, a musician, a Christian. You know, when you have to dim your light, you don't get to be everything God meant you to be. And you know, God made me a person of dignity and worth, very capable of true love. And I hope that for everyone. So I don't know what this guy's, what's informed his opinion, but I disagree with him.
You know, Shelley, it's interesting. We were saying that, you know, on cue, some people in, you know, right-wing radio, I heard a guy defending him yesterday saying, you know, that he said, oh, this guy 2 years ago predicted that when the first professional athlete comes out, the real test of tolerance is going to be, you know, whether we tolerate the people that say that makes me uncomfortable. And I'm like, really? That's where we've come? We have to tolerate homophobes. That's the test of tolerance?
Yeah, well, that's an interesting take, isn't it? You know, America, the world, we humans, we're all very different. We all have very different belief systems. But I reject the notion that a guy like that can negate my Christianity because I'm an openly gay woman, married to a woman, pregnant with two kids on the way. He doesn't get to take away my faith system. And my relationship with God is exactly that. It's my relationship with God. And I have to say, you know, I think it's a sin to lie about who God made you to be.
Yep.
God entrusted me with a lot of gifts and faith, and I really felt that God was asking me to come out for years and years and years, and I think the sin for me was trying to control, trying to dim my light because society's design told me I needed to.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
His opinion. Yeah.
I was just going to say, I think this guy just wants every basketball player to be as chaste as Wilt Chamberlain.
That's yeah. Right. Clearly that's right. Yes. Sure. Clearly that's...
I mean, it is the hypocrisy runs deep there that, you know, I wonder if we can find some other clips where he's speaking out and negating NBA players' Christianity. Can we find that?
Yeah. You know, and somebody at the right-wing website, Breitbart.com, tweeted, you know, oh, so now Jason Collins is a hero. We've certainly lowered the bar for heroism since Normandy. You know, and this is a guy that's previously called pretty much every right-wing radio host a hero. I mean, you know, the fact is, you know, as I've said to you many times, you are a hero because you saved lives. He's a hero because he's going to save lives because there is a gay kid watching somewhere. that says, "Oh, it's a basketball player. It's my favorite country singer." It's right. I mean, that's why, you know, when you talked about it, that's why you did it.
That's why I did it, and I guess, you know, I know that's why you did it, because you, as you and I have discussed for many years, it's worth it to hide until it's not. You know, we all reach that tipping point, and it seems that this young man, this very brave NBA player, was really affected, as he said, by the bombings in Boston. And he said he realized then that life could change in an instant, and that it was, he couldn't wait 1 minute more to be who he is. He only told his twin brother that he's a gay man last year. You know, this wasn't a guy that enjoyed, you know, kind of an underground network of friends who knew he was a gay man. This guy was, he hit it, and he hit it hard. And the fact that he stepped up, I'll bet if we could sit down and talk with him, I'll bet this has, I'll bet he knows that he is saving lives and changing lives and starting a discussion that hasn't happened in the NBA. And it's finally here. There'll never have to be another first.
Right. And as the future mother of twins, you should know that his twin brother was shocked. So your twins may not have that twin telepathy either.
Isn't that fascinating? Fascinating. But there's no doubt, especially his being a black man as well. You know, our friend Don Lemon came out a couple of years ago, and that was groundbreaking in the African American community, because again, another bastion of that one final frontier of cultures in which it's very difficult to come out. And this is it's huge. I think history will tell us in a few years just how big this is, just how bold this move by Jason is.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and I think, you know, the thing is, Shelley, that I love the fact that the pockets of you know, discrimination are becoming fewer. We were just talking this morning. There was a gym teacher, a female gym teacher that worked at a Catholic school in Columbus that was fired because she just mentioned her partner in her mother's obituary in the paper. But we had a mom from the school today who said there's 88,000 signatures in support of her, and it looks like she's going to get her job back. But
that's heartwarming.
Well, and I was saying apparently they were very shocked that a female gym teacher was gay. Which was the real story there. That was the real...
Well, a couple of years ago, I don't know if you followed the news about a Belmont. Belmont is a Christian university in Tennessee, and their soccer coach, their ladies' soccer coach, came forward. Yep. Her name is Coach Lisa Howe. She came forward, told her administrators that she and her partner were pregnant and that she felt uncomfortable hiding that from her team because she had a baby on the way, and there, you know, when you have a baby on the way, you can expect that your coach might not be at a certain practice or might have to run home quickly. And so she said she needed to tell her team, well, oh, my gosh, she was suddenly let go. And the school, of course, said no, it had nothing to do with that. And, of course, it was. The woman was fired because she came out. And, you know, it's good to see that these things can be reversed with petitions, and we're making progress.
Well,
you know, if we focus on the negative, we won't see the progress, but it's there, and it's there because of people like Coach Howe, Jason Collins, Stephanie Miller, and I'm glad to be in on the game. I really am.
Yeah, me too, honey. The final story I have to ask you about, because I may need your personal help with this, is in Washington State. Did you hear about the florist that refused to do flowers for a gay wedding? And so she's being sued by the state because it's against the law in Washington to discriminate. And so one of the Republican lawmakers that sponsored a bill, they're trying to sponsor a bill that makes it legal to discriminate in the state of Washington. So somebody...
I want to break out into America the Beautiful. Isn't that... Aren't we neat as a people that we will construct new laws of how to disenfranchise people? It's just awesome.
Right, but here's the part where you come in, being a country girl, because somebody called the legislator's office and said, what about, you know, rural gays that, you know, don't live anywhere near the food or gas or whatever, if it's okay to discriminate? And the guy that answered the phone said, well, they can just grow their own food. So this is where you're going to need to help me. Because I am not... I'm a city mouse, and so you may need to help me grow my own food, because I don't...
You are making that up. That did not
I am
happen.
Not making that up. He said gays can grow their own food.
Yeah.
Well, we are an industrious bunch.
And I know from reading your book that you grew up on a farm, so you may need to help me, because I will be lost in
this
regard.
I need to hop off the phone so I can go buy some seed.
Awesome. Thank you.
Love you.
You're a helper. I love you too, honey. Talk to you soon.
Love you guys.
Right, okay, you, bye.
There she goes.
Oh, boy.
She's a farm girl.
She is.
Seed. She's going to buy seed right now. 19 minutes after the hour, we'll be right back with the president's thoughts about the president's press conference as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
This is the dirtiest show I have ever been on in all of my life.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
You had to be a big shot, didn't you? You had to open up your mouth. You had to be a big shot, didn't you? All your friends were so knocked out. You had to have the last word last night. You know what everything's about. You had to have a white hot spotlight. You had to be a big shot last night. Oh.
24 minutes after the hour. Jim, what did you say? George Bush would have bombed Crete by now?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Lindsey Graham thinks there's been entirely too much, I don't know, thinking and investigation and things. We should have already bombed Syria.
Bomb somebody. You blow stuff up. And, there you go. Look out.
And in addition to the Boston bombing, of course, the president's fault.
Sure.
All right. Although, even Peter King, as we mentioned earlier, said that the Russians obviously didn't tell us everything. Jay Carney yesterday at the
cooperation like this is important. And it is the kind of cooperation that we have with governments around the world and allies and partners around the world because the terrorism threat is a global problem, not a national one.
This is on need-to-know basis. You don't need to know.
Representative Peter King, Republican of New York, talking about that.
You know, the Russians did not give us all the information they had. One of the reasons is they still don't trust us, and we don't trust them. They felt if they gave us more information, I guess we would be on to their sources and methods.
Kevin in Chicago writes, hey, Stephan and Mooks, one thing I've been struggling with ever since we first heard Russia inquired about the dead bomber and our right-wing lunatic nation going into apoplexy, are they saying that we are now the minions of the Russian intelligence agencies? I mean, were you now supposed to let them dictate to us to who to watch, who to follow, and report back to them? Is this what the teabagging traitorous right is now saying? We must work for Russia? We should jump through hoops whenever they call? What do you think the Russians would say if we called them and said, watch this guy, what's up with him? They would say, you Yankee pig bastards.
Okay, then.
Or something like that.
Words to that effect.
Sure. Right.
Well, exactly. Of course, we don't really have a manned space program anymore. We have to hitch a ride with the Russians. So they kind of have us over a barrel.
Right. All right. Eric Holder, Attorney General, talking.
As we will pursue relentlessly anyone who would target our people or attempt to terrorize our cities, the Justice Department is firmly committed to protecting innocent people against misguided acts of retaliation.
Again, to make even vague comparison to 9/11, in terms of when this entire huge plot, of which there was ample warning, was completely missed by the Bush administration, as the president said, the FBI did do their job. They interviewed him. They investigated. How are they supposed to what is this, thought crime? How are they supposed to know what he might do? This was not some huge terrorist plot of which there were warnings.
Well, they should have consulted Tom Cruise in the majority report.
Right, minority
report, whatever.
Exactly. Richard Nicholson, Misha's family attorney. Mm-hmm.
To date, they have answered all the questions that have been asked of them by the authorities. They're fully cooperating, and that's it. There's really nothing more to say.
So, yeah, they've already interviewed Misha, the red-haired stranger.
Misha!
The red-bearded stranger.
Although he doesn't have a beard anymore.
No?
No. I saw a picture of him yesterday. He doesn't have a beard
anymore. No? Okay. So the latest in from that, investigators found female DNA on at least one of the bomb components, so they've taken DNA from Tamerlan's wife.
Mm-hmm.
But you know who I would immediately suspect. I think you know who I would. However, I don't. She wasn't round. Just saying. I don't know. All right, thank you. Chris in Pennsylvania, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Chris.
I just want to point out that our supposed ally, the Israelis, they find trace amounts of this chemical weapons, and they could have privately passed this information on to the president, to the White House. But no, the choice they make is to try and embarrass the president, try and embarrass our country because they know he made that comment, unfortunate comment about the red line, you know?
Right.
So they wanted to score points, try to make us look bad, make us look weak. This is our supposed ally, okay? You know, they want us to attack Syria. They want us to attack Iran. And there seems to be no end of the hatred they have for everyone in the world. I get a little upset with this. Our supposed ally in the reason there.
I think that's a little strong hatred of everyone in the world. But this is just it's always a game of gotcha for the Lindsey Grahams of the world. It's just the president's doing they fit every story into the president's doing something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or he needs to do what Dick Cheney would have done.
We have to strike now,
immediately,
sir. Annihilate,
now.
Kill. Shut up.
It is. It's the same thing, right? You fill in either Benghazi, Syria. It's like, as the president is saying, we are investigating. We're finding out what exactly happened in Syria. We are looking at all our options.
We're being careful.
Right.
We're
there are other options
rash.
Besides just shock and awe.
Investigating is French and gay. We're going to start bombing immediately. I don't care where.
Why do I feel like George Bush just had one of those whiteboards they have in, like, writers' rooms? For TV shows, just shock and awe.
Throw some darts in the wall and see where it lands.
It's the only idea. Shock, awe.
Karl Rove is famous for his whiteboards.
Really?
Yes, on Fox News.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
So
yes.
Maybe that's where they got the idea.
I thought you'd say his white parties.
No, his whiteboards.
Oh, okay. That's different.
He's got something to tell us today, too, after Jason?
Y'all don't watch Fox News, I can tell.
29 minutes out of the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
The nicest, sweetest, coolest girl at the pageant, and this year's Miss Congeniality.
Okay, 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Let's go to Danny in Texas. Hi, Danny, welcome.
Hi.
Hi.
I was just calling in because, they were talking about things being a stand and them about being in the Bible and all of that. And, if these people really believe in the Bible, they need to stop with the whole fornication and all of that. And because many of the men in the Bible that were like kings or whatever, and even some of the common ones, they had concubines, they had wives. And if they really believe in like the letter of the Bible, then the fact that the Israelis and Arabs don't get along is because Abraham couldn't keep his pants closed because he had the Pharaoh with one of the hand servants.
What chapter is that? I think that's exactly what it says. Abraham could not keep his pants closed.
Well, and for all we know, over the years, somebody might have even added that part about homosexuality to the King James Version because the Bible has been changed and reworded and paraphrased so many times. And so you don't even really know if some of the stuff that they're always quoting is actually even what was in the Bible.
Right. And Abraham was fine if his pants were always open as long as he wasn't wearing two different kinds of cloth.
Right.
As it says in Leviticus.
While eating a shrimp, pork, and cheese sandwich.
Exactly. Yes. Jason.
Ew.
Jason in D.C. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Ew. Hi, Jason.
It's abominable in so many ways.
I was going to comment about the basketball player, and I'm looking forward to the day when somebody comes out and everybody's like, who the hell cares?
Yawn.
It's like a whole non-event.
And the country, the country said yawn. Yeah.
Yeah, the thing about, the president and stuff like that and people commenting about this stuff, I'm like, look, let's be honest. Up until a year ago, the president wasn't behind this at all. Okay, it was a focus group that they had done, and suddenly he changed his opinion, just like Hillary Clinton did. So it's an intellectual...
I don't know if it's a focus group. I mean, again, look, a lot of people have evolved on this issue, including me, and I'm gay. So you know what I mean? Like, I mean, to criticize people for when they got to their particular evolution, I don't know.
Well, what about, it's like the other guy, the congressman, and his son comes out. Suddenly now he's changing his opinion, too. But the one thing that's really disturbing to me, though, is, when I take a step back on this, we have certain
Right, but Jason, wait. Go back, because that when you look at polls, that's the biggest predicator of people changing their minds, is that they know someone or love someone that's gay. So why judge Rob Portman for that being part of his evolution?
Because I think that what happens is the part of being a leader is taking a position on something that maybe the majority are against, but you're taking a stand on it. And I think that's a lot of what's been going on in terms of society, is the problem that people make their decisions on which way the political winds are blowing, not based on really what their firm principles are. So if Obama really was in favor of,
if you're going to look at that,
shouldn't he have said that?
Well, then it was really brave of the Senate to vote against background checks, wasn't it? Because 90-something percent of the American people want them.
Sure, but I mean, if that's what the case is. I mean, again,
well,
part of the leader
brave.
Is
that's
you have
my
to tell...
point. It wasn't brave. It was cowardly. You know, it
well,
was.
But again, with most people that are out there, again, the hardest thing as a politician is to stand up to something that you have a principle on. I mean, you might not agree with certain people in Congress, and I don't believe it, but, you know, at least you respect the person that stays consistent and isn't flip-flopping back and forth in the wind.
Well, I know, but I'm just saying I think there is a difference in flip-flopping and true evolution, and I think a lot of people have evolved on marriage equality. So, anyway, all I'm saying is the Senate vote... Right? And thank God for these polls. I'm looking at a new PPP poll showing, Senator Kelly Ayotte, who we've talked about, mm-hmm. dropped 15 points.
Yeah.
But Senators Jeff Flake, Lisa Murkowski, Mark Begich, Rob Portman, Dean Heller have all dropped into varying degrees of hot water with voters, which I think is because, you know why, because God is watching them.
God is watching us.
This bill is a clear overreach that will predominantly punish and harass our neighbors, our friends, and our families. So to protect the rights of law-abiding citizens of the Commonwealth of Kentucky and of other states, I will oppose invoking cloture on S-649.
We're trying to take it to the violent criminal rather than taking it to the innocent Second Amendment law-abiding citizen.
This is the first step in the erosion of our rights under the Second Amendment.
Yeah, watching you.
Or at least Bette Midler is.
Yes, exactly. Well, that's scary enough. All right. Oh, look at this. The NRA has sent a big love letter to Kelly Ayotte, though. The NRA coming to her defense. They're running radio ads thanking her for focusing on meaningful bipartisan solutions. And opposing misguided gun control laws that would not have prevented Sandy Hook. The ad does not specifically mention background checks, but notes that Ayotte supports improving the mental health system, quote, as the only way to protect our children, because she is a mother. Really? That's the only way? It's the only way.
Only way.
Yeah. Pardon me. I'm just coughing up a lung. Nobody help me.
You got another one. That's why you have two.
See? You weren't going to help me anyway.
Yeah. We'll just call Hal Sparks.
The five senators from Alaska, Arizona, Nevada, and Ohio who voted against background checks have seen their approval ratings numbers decline, and voters say they're less likely to support them the next time they are up for re-election. So to that, I say yay. All right, who lost their head in the Hudson River? Anybody? Bueller? Who is it? There's a giant head floating in the Hudson River.
A big giant head?
Yes. Not a real one. Huh?
Bill O'Reilly?
Anyone lose a giant head made of styrofoam and fiberglass?
Oh, well, that could be
head.
Bill O'Reilly.
Yeah.
Yeah, who could tell?
Officials at an upstate New York college are asking after the men's crew team found the unusual object floating in the Hudson River. The object turns out to be a 7-foot-tall replica of a man's head made with styrofoam and fiberglass.
Sure, it wasn't the Statue of Liberty?
Damn you all to hell!
You blow it up!
The head has the appearance of a Greek or Roman-style statue. Huh. College officials believe it's a theater prop, but so far nobody has come forward to claim
theater
the
New
giant
York?
Head.
Yeah,
really?
I'm not aware of that.
Lost their giant theater head. Okay. Jill and Ithaca.
Some high school performance of Antigone.
Jill and Ithaca. Jill and Ithaca. Hi. Is that your head?
They landed in the Hudson River? Oh, my God. How did that happen? Anyway, hi, Stephanie, Chris, and my little reality poutine, Jim. Anyway. Hello. Anyway, actually, guys, I'm old enough to remember when being black in the NBA was an issue.
Right.
And that's when they created the Harlem Globetrotters. Yeah, they created the Harlem Globetrotters.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So that's why I think we're going to get there. It's, a lot of progress. over time. And, yeah, my sister had married into a basketball family, but, that was like old school, like, you know, Bob Cousy days. So I used to go to a lot of basketball games.
I know it. I listen, I'm old enough to remember the Bob Cousy days, the pasty white man in shorts, shiny shorts.
And my,
yes.
Yeah. So my brother, in law place for the Knicks. His name was Dick McGuire, and a very nice, the most humble man. And also, his brother was Al McGuire, who coached Marquette and did a lot of color commentary. And they were polar opposites. I mean, Al was never quiet, and Dick was so quiet. So anyway,
Well, it was nice of us to finally let the blacks in, wasn't it? Even though they're clearly so deficient in the sport. It was very big of us.
Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you. Wow, I love Mediaite's piece on Sarah Palin.
Oh.
Yeah. She did not enjoy the White House Correspondents' Dinner. No. Mediaite writes, man, people just hate a party they weren't invited to. You can chalk Alaska gubernatorial resignee and presidential ticket neck anchor. Sarah Palin up in the I hate hashtag nerd problem column. She called the White House Correspondents' Dinner pathetic and its attendees ass clowns.
which means, used the term ass clown?
Right, which means by extension that husband Todd Palin and daughter Crystal Palin must also be colonic comedians of some sort, since they both have attended the dinner in the past. Mm-hmm. Palin herself skipped the 2011 dinner, but hit the pre- and post-parties, which would make her, an ass clown groupie?
Multiple ass clown.
Right. Palin even had Rachel Maddow make her a drink at the Gasp MSNBC party. What? She went to the MSNBC party?
She was looking for a job.
Yeah. I figure Michael Stu got in, so.
Yeah.
So I can see why you would, because Rachel Maddow mixes a mean drink, as we all know.
She's a mixologist, not just a bartender.
Right? Mm-hmm. Indeed. All right. oversensitive much? Mother wants, a mother in Michigan has made it her mission to have a pornographic book being taught at her daughter's middle school pulled from the curriculum. The book, The Diary of a Young Girl by Anne Frank.
Mm-hmm.
There is a particular description of her
genitalia,
girly parts.
Yes.
When
she has taken particular issue with a specific passage.
It's not pornographic.
Of Anne
though.
Frank's diary, in which the young Holocaust victim talks about the discovery of her own genitalia.
But that's not pornography.
Hmm. No, it was like the people that were offended at Schindler's List because the nudity.
There was nudity.
Like, yes, you're kind of missing the point.
Yeah.
Entirely. Yes. Has anyone asked Justin Bieber what he thinks? A story? I don't.
Anne Frank
ironically,
would have been a fan of Justin Bieber.
Ironically, Bieber is the German word for beaver.
It is.
45 minutes after.
Oh, my God. We can't go to break fast enough.
No, we cannot. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, prepare yourselves for a shock.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Movie called, and they need this song back immediately. 49 minutes after the hour, this hour with Stephanie Miller, brought to you by TheraBreath mouth-wetting lozenges. Pop a great-tasting mandarin mint. TheraBreath lozenges help stop uncomfortable dry mouth fast. If only they could help with pronunciations.
Mm-hmm.
TheraBreath mouth-wetting lozenges available at Target, Walmart, Walgreens, and other fine stores. Cindy in Texas, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Cindy.
Hello.
Hi.
Oh, I'm that little redneck hillbilly girl. We had the whole conversation about the BB gun the other day.
Yes, we did.
Okay. Thank
go
you.
Go ahead. Mm-hmm.
All right. I wasn't going to call in today because there's lots I want to say. Like, go, Jason. Yay.
Yay.
But besides that, okay, this redneck hillbilly, the Anne Frank thing. Are you friggin' kidding me?
Right. That's the biggest
threat
to America.
This is the most... Oh, and if that happens, I swear, I'm moving to another country. That is the most poignant novel ever.
Right.
Like, there's no other
it's not a novel.
She mentions
a diary.
Her naughty bits.
It's a diary.
Because it turns diary.
This really happened.
Yes.
It describes the Holocaust completely in a way that you can't really do from the outside looking in. I swear, I just about jumped out of my skin. I'm like, oh, let me put it this way. She made me pop a top for 11:30.
I mean it. I was so angry.
And let's face it, Cindy, all girls remember the moment we first went, what the hell is that? What
yes,
is it for?
That is right. Oh, my Lord. Okay. That's really all I have.
All right.
And you should definitely rewatch the Bush thing, because I kind of tuned out on you for a minute. But at the very end, as he was leaving the stage, he got called back.
Who did?
The audience called back and asked him about Jason and what he thought about it. And he came back and he told exactly Obama. What he thought. Go Obama.
Ah, go Obama. All right. Thank you, honey. Appreciate it. Oh, by the way, we were on this historic day after Jason Collins came out yesterday, the first professional athlete to do so. We were saying we were giving a homophobe award. And let's see. One of them was the Washington State Legislator staffer. Who said that rural gays could just grow their own food? It's okay to discriminate. In the, let's see. Rachel in Las Vegas says, Steph, well, I found my career, rural gay food delivery. Why didn't I think of this before? There's a business. Delivering food to the rural gays. Oh, and then that was the guy in the UK that compared gays to termites.
Yeah.
And Stephen in Chicago writes, in fairness, gays are just a little bit like termites in that some of us occasionally like to put in our mouths. Oh, I don't even know what he meant by that. Termites like wood. That's wood.
Oh.
I just believed part of it because you told me not to read it because you thought it was too dirty. But then Jim did the... Okay.
All right.
Kyle in Albuquerque writes, Mama, you should have told that caller that just called that senators and representatives aren't elected to take a stand on their principles. They're elected to represent the people. If 90% of the people want something, then standing against it is antithetical to their job.
Mm-hmm.
Kyle in Albuquerque. Thank you, Kyle.
Jackson, you're fired!
Exactly. Oh, I have... Look at this. Somebody finally has... there's a lawsuit about something I can relate to. Shy bladder syndrome leads to lawsuits. As we all know, I have to...
Tickle your butt to pee.
Yes. A would-be administrator who failed a job-related drug test due to anxiety over giving a urine sample has sued Iowa Methodist Medical Center for failing to make a reasonable accommodation for her alleged disability.
Hmm. Alleged disability.
I'm just saying. If you don't live with it, Tim, you don't understand. Okay. Usher has performed at Michael Jordan's wedding. Did you see this?
Uh-huh.
I want him to perform at mine when I find someone. You know why? Because I'm a, you know.
You the one to please.
Right.
Like double D's.
Because I'm a,
when we leave them dead. We want a lady in the street, but a freak in a bed that say.
Romantic wedding song, don't you think?
Sure.
No? Nothing says romance I have another wedding to break up. Melissa Gilbert has married again. She married Timothy Busfield.
That's right.
And they can now settle down in their own little house on the prairie.
Yep.
Isn't that cute?
I just saw them on Saturday night.
You went to?
Little House on... Well, they're not allowed to call it that, but it was formerly called Little House on the Prairie Oki until they got the cease and desist from the Laura Ingalls Wilder estate.
Yes.
Oops. And she sat two rows in front of us and was laughing at all the in-jokes. It was very entertaining.
So it's a karaoke version of...
Well, no. It's kind of a on-stage send-up of Little House on the Prairie and all the famous episodes and stuff. Like, you know, Nellie opens a restaurant and gets in a food fight and all that sort of thing. And they break into modern-day songs every once in a while when it would punctuate the goings on stage.
What's not awesome about that?
And a drag queen plays Nellie Olson.
And what do I refer to about breaking up Melissa Gilbert's marriage?
I'd be one of the gays on the prairie, I guess.
Yes.
I need the food delivery.
Thank you, Jim. Yes. Okay, thank you. What do I refer to? The only time I've ever made the tabloids.
The only time.
Right.
Yep.
When I had my disastrous late night show, I made the National Enquirer 4. I apparently broke up Melissa Gilbert and Bruce Boxleitner's marriage, according to that.
Right, but that didn't happen until years later.
Oh, yeah, it took me years.
Yeah.
My charm is, it's subversive,
it was a slow
but it
fuse,
takes a while. Yeah. No, apparently we got in a cat fight backstage and it was a whole thing, although except that she wasn't there and I've never met her. But still,
other than that,
the story was completely true. You know me, I'm just a man, I'm man hungry.
She's a man eater.
Right, I'm a man eater. Here I come.
You'd think if the National Enquirer had any journalistic abilities, they would have sussed out some model.
Now what was really happening?
Some lesbianic tendencies.
By the way, isn't Nellie gay? I think she is. That would have been the real story.
Alison Arngrim?
I think so.
I don't know that she is.
I could be wrong. Well,
I don't know.
I thought somebody was. Maybe I'm wrong. Okay. And if I am, I apologize.
Well, if you're a dude named Nellie, that might be.
What is wrong with you today? All right. Rocky.
I just keep serving him up, and I just and Rocky, got him out of the park.
Rocky the Musical, headed for Broadway.
Is it?
Sylvester Stallone producing.
Really? Did we ask for that?
Well, you're getting it. February.
Great. Is Butkus going to be it?
Are there just steps? Does he dance up steps? Or I don't know.
They're going to serve raw eggs at the concession stand?
That'd be funny.
What were his turtles' names?
Butkus and...
No. Like Flip and Flap or something like
no.
that.
Cuff and
no. Cuff
and Link.
Cuff and Link. Butkus is a dog.
Right.
That's not right. We didn't get that right. That's my college roommate's boyfriend's cats were named Cuff and Link. You know what? My brain is totally... No. Someone will tell us. What were Sylvester Stallone's turtles named in Rocky? Call now. Okay.
I think it was Cuff and Link. I think you're right.
Really?
I haven't seen it since 1975.
It's Cuff and Link.
Really?
Yeah. I've never seen it. I've never seen the movie, and I think it's Cuff and Link.
What are the chances that the flapping wires actually
Link,
connected?
Yes.
I don't. Really?
Yes.
Okay.
That's what Shafe in the chat room says.
Sometimes I can't even help being right. It just happens. Okay. Al Pacino, I love this story. Exiting swanky, eerie Ivy at the Shore out here.
Yeah.
Al Pacino blinked in shock when a drunk walking ahead of him suddenly keeled over and crashed to the floor.
Hooah!
Right. And then he called him hooah. Al asked, you're not driving, are you? That's when a woman with the guy spoke up, slurring her own words, and she said, I am.
I'm a designated drinker. You guys drive all you want.
Pacino insisted neither of them should get behind the wheel. He said it isn't...
You got a moron here.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. He said it's not just about you, it's about you possibly killing someone else. Refusing to take no for an answer, he walked them to his limo, orders his chauffeur to drive them home, and then come back and pick him up. Right? Very nice.
Hopefully. Neither of them got with a limo.
Right, exactly, yeah. Exactly.
What kind of show are you two running here?
All right. Hey, one last. For Jason Collins. Let's give a boy a hand. Woo-hoo! That's it for us. Sexy Liberal Hal Sparks tomorrow?
Yes.
Hump Days with Hal Sparks.
Yep.
Tune in then. I'd like to thank Chris LeBoy, Jim Ward,
and Chris Cluey tomorrow, too.
Oh, Chris Cluey. Mm-hmm. He's still my heart. And Travis on phones and drums. We'll see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.